You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer.
This is Love Sport.
They were having a discussion on one of the Sky programmes. It was a debate, and Gordon Strachan was talking about Adam Johnson, who possibly will be coming back to play. I mean, probably not in Britain, maybe in France. They're talking about maybe giving him a contract out there. And Gordon Strachan, well, he said things which possibly were a little bit inadvisable. Can we hear what Gordon said?
Gordon, do you think it would be nigh on impossible for him to return to football if he was willing and he was physically capable?
Yeah, well,
because of the stigma that would be attached to his particular crime.
Well, here's the thing then, you know, we're talking about vile abuse and things like that. Say he goes onto the pitch and people start calling the names, have we got to do the same as it is with the racist situation? Is it all right to call him names now after doing his 3 years? Have we got to allow that to happen?
Right. OK, that's Gordon Strachan on the debate on Sky. He got a little bit tied up there in his thinking. He didn't really quite think it through, right? Because, first of all, one has to point out that the people being racially abused have not committed a crime,
yeah.
Right? First of all, they're just black men and women who the colour of their skin means that some people don't like them and they are racially abusing them. Whereas Gordon, he just got a bit confused, didn't he? I mean, I don't think he's a bad person, Gordon. I've never thought he's a bad person. I don't think I wouldn't put him on live on a broadcast, but he's not. What do you think of him, Paul?
Because I like him.
I mean, I do as well.
I felt sorry for him because the thing about it is, I think the way he's been dealt with, I think highlights how poor we are at dealing with situations like that, because there's an opportunity to educate him on the TV. There was an opportunity for someone to go, hold on a sec. This is, what you mean is this? Because I get exactly what he said.
Yeah.
What he's talking about,
yeah, he's talking about
is
the abuse. Yeah.
That's all he's talking about. He's talking about abuse. But he's very, very clumsy way of talking about it. And to liken it to paedophilia, to racism is a huge mistake. You can't... If I could think of two things that you could put together, it's not those two. He's made a huge mistake.
He's not likening paedophilia to racism, is he?
Well,
he's likening
the abuse of paedophiles to the abuse of black people by racists. The whole thing is, do you know what? It's just a mistake. I don't believe he believes any of that.
No.
But the problem is, you know what we do? We just get rid of him.
Well,
we
that's what Sky said. It's ridiculous. Sky said he won't be used again. And I just think it just seems a little bit like an overreaction
to me. It's huge. We were talking on air, you know, Jamie Carragher spat in a 14-year-old girl's face and kept his job. You know, when we talk about, the thing about it is, when we talk about race, people, I'm not saying they go overboard, but they so much want to do the right thing and seem to be doing the right thing that sometimes they penalise people harshly. I think he's being penalised harshly here.
On the substantive point that he was trying and failing to make.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's talking about abuse in the crowd,
exactly,
isn't he? That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He's talking about the fact that, on the one hand, you've got racist abusing black people,
yeah,
right? And we all agree that is terrible. On the other hand, let's just imagine for a second that Adam Johnson is running around,
yeah,
playing for a football team and somebody's giving him dogs abuse.
Which they all will do.
Which they all will do.
He's getting
and
that.
And he's saying, now, should we? Is that okay to allow something,
yeah,
like that? Whereas we understand it's not okay to allow racist abuse. And, I mean, I think he absolutely did not have a point the way he put it.
No.
If we're talking about the substantive point, you know, we accept that somebody on the terraces calls someone a you-know-what,
yeah,
right? But what they don't do is call someone a black you-know-what.
Yeah.
There's the line there.
Exactly.
And
right,
we go, it's okay to do the first, but it's not okay to,
yeah,
do the second.
Because the second is not all-inclusive. The second focuses on certain characteristics that, for want of better words, have nothing to do with what is going on the pitch.
What if I was running about and somebody called me a big nose you-know-what as opposed to just a you-know-what? Is that all right? Or a ginger you-know-what as opposed to
you-know-what?
Well, let me ask you this.
There is a history attached to the word, certain words. There isn't a history of persecution attached to
big noses. Being
big nose or ginger. Or, do you know what I mean? There is a history of persecution.
It's okay to call someone a big nose, you know what, but not a Jewish, you know.
So
what.
Imagine if you're Jewish is slightly different because there is a history of persecution.
Because the two do go together.
But not every big nose is Jewish. Come on now. I've seen some big noses that have got nothing to do with Judaism.
Jamie wants to join in at this point. Jamie, what are you going to say here? Hang on, he hasn't turned the. He's so excited. He hasn't turned the.
No, I didn't. I just wanted to say I'll be doing the news, the weather and travel after you finish this discussion.
Oh, I see.
And nothing to add to the Jew big nose discussion.
Okay, fair enough.
But Jamie, I've got to ask, if you had a big nose and people were big nosing you off, is that okay?
On that discussion is that there is the big nose and Jewish thing. Big nose is different to ginger because Jewish people have suffered, and if you call a Jewish person something to do with big nose, then that has more implications than a ginger person.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, but then maybe ginger people would feel differently. That's the point.
Well, look, what I'm saying is this. Okay, what I'm saying is this. I think, to be truthfully honest, if there's a crowd of people and someone shouts, "Oi, big nose," half a dozen could have big noses, and it's not a problem. If there's one black guy and someone says something, you know who it's aimed at. That's the problem. You know exactly who it's aimed at because the characteristics are there, and there is a history around those things. And I you know, the funny thing was the other day, do you remember I think Jon Snow said something about a lot of white people?
Yeah, that's right.
Had to apologize.
Yeah.
I sat there and thought, well, hold on, that's the truth. It's the norm. Like, for me, there's always too many white people. I mean, look at this studio now. I'm the only black guy. There's always too many white people. But there's nothing wrong with that.
You are the only black guy. The box has been ticked, hasn't it?
There you go. You're the only Jewish guy.
One black,
tick.
One Jew.
What do we call him?
Jamie. It's the large forehead guy. Jamie.
Every show. Every show.
Well,
say that.
Well, I did say that.
You did a weird complex.
Okay. It is okay because people with large foreheads have not been persecuted as far as I understand.
I now can't look at Jamie without looking at his forehead now.
I know.
You see what you've done?
It's fine. I haven't suffered. I'm all right with
you. Haven't suffered. No.
Shall we get on with the weather? Because Graham Cruise is waiting.
Yes, let's do that.
Murky start today. A bit of low cloud and fog and a few showers around. Could be sunny as we move on throughout the day. Any brightness could trigger further showers and potential thunder.
Right. What about the trains?
All good.
Travel.
All good on the tube.
Thank you very, very much. Let's talk about the game yesterday. Watford. The Watford boss, Avi Gracia, was full of praise for Gerard Deulofeu after the FA Cup semi-final. The Spaniard came off the bench to score twice as his side overturned a 2-0 deficit against Wolves to win 3-2. Gracia wasn't surprised by Deulofeu's impact. Well, let's have a chat now with a sports broadcaster and Watford fan, Graham Clues. Morning, Graham.
Oh, it's a fantastic morning. What a morning. I had a great dream last night. It was about the FA Cup semi-final. I want to explain it to you. It's very elaborate. You won't believe me.
Well, thank you. But we know the basics, I think, is that you were 2-0 down. There is nothing like a comeback from 2-0 down. I mean, it doesn't matter semi-final or not. Mm-hmm. It's a joyous thing, right?
Absolutely. It's one of those things about football, about sport, that people love. You always think any team who's 2-0 down with, 70 minutes to go. There's always that hope as a supporter. You always think, you know, if we get one, we'll just get the confidence that we'll just crash on for another 20 minutes. Sometimes it happens, invariably it doesn't, but certainly doesn't usually happen in an FA Cup semi-final, one of the biggest games Watford's had for 20, 30 years. It was terrific. It was quite the emotional roller coaster.
And Graham, you've got to give me your view on Javi Gracias omitting Deulofeu. Was that a masterstroke, or did he just get lucky?
Yeah, I think a little bit of getting lucky. Andre Gray, in the last few FA Cup rounds, he's proved his worth. He's scored some great goals, and he's, after having a really tough first season with us, he's started to become the player that our record signing. He started to produce some goals. So it was a bit of a surprise. I think it's a bit like Gomez. It's kind of a reward for his FA Cup performance, and he's not really featured in the Premier League, but he's been an FA Cup part of it. I can understand why Deulofeu was a bit angry not to be on the pitch at the beginning, but we've actually now kind of got the situation where Gray and Deulofeu have both sort of become super subs, and they can come on and both change the game in their own way when they come on. And it just, yeah, I think, let's be honest, it was a bit of luck. But Delafeu is that kind of player. He can play 90 minutes or 70 minutes and come off, and you think, well, he didn't really do anything. Or he can absolutely look like a Lionel Messi, and we've got the best bargain Watford's ever had.
Yeah, and as for Troy Deeney stepping up and taking that penalty, I mean, because it went, there was a bit of a wait, wasn't there, while we had the VAR and all that stuff. And he took himself away, didn't he? He sort of went off and just collected his thoughts. But you would have, I mean, he's the one you would have wanted taking that penalty, right?
Absolutely. He's the one you wanted taking any penalty that we have. And you kind of feel when he's standing over the penalty, there's no way he's going to miss. He's just got the experience. He's a captain that most other clubs would love to have. I think there's a lot of teams, a lot of Big Six teams as well, that just don't have that kind of presence in their team. We're extremely lucky to have him. Like he said in his post-match interview, had he seen the mask going on, he might have lost his head a bit earlier in the match. Fortunately, he didn't see that. He has a tendency to lose his head. But what a captain, what a leader. And yeah, no one else you wanted stood over that penalty at all.
And Graham, with 10 minutes to go, did you see any Watford fans leaving early?
I didn't, no. I would be extremely surprised if any did. There probably are some who thought, we'll beat the traffic, we'll get away from this. But I don't know, why would you? I'm a big fan of never leaving early. If you're losing 8-0, don't leave early. Why would you leave? You might miss one of the great goals that's ever been scored in history. Why would you leave at all? I don't understand it. I didn't hear that at all. I'm sure a couple of fans were looking at their watches and thinking, oh, what's going to happen here? This is embarrassing. But no, I can't believe anyone would have left early.
Well, if they did, they missed something special. Now you've got the final to look forward to, and I hope you enjoy it there, Graham. It's a great day out. Very nice to speak to you, Graham. That's Graham Clues there, sports broadcaster and Watford fan, after that momentous comeback yesterday. Yeah, 2-0 down, 3-2 up. It's really, I mean, I've only seen Arsenal do that about two or three times, and it's a joy every time. It really is. There's a surge of excitement.
I've experienced that as a player.
Both ends?
You're walking on air. Yeah, both ends. You're walking on air and you're low as a snake's belly. Honestly, they're terrible things to have to experience, but wonderful things if you come from behind.
Yeah, quite. Love Sport. We were just talking about the fact that Arsenal have to play Napoli on Thursday night. Ooh. They've got to play Napoli on Thursday. Then they've got, this is at home, then they've got to go to Watford. And then they got Napoli again. It's a tough run, this. And that could be their season, by the way. We're talking about the season there.
You've got to hope Watford are still celebrating, mate. That's going to be, because I tell you what, Arsenal-Watford, there's always a little bit between them.
Troy Deeney will definitely fancy coming up against the Arsenal defence. Jamie has come in. He's got some stories from inside the newspapers, I believe. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. Yeah, before we come to those stories, did you see Choupo-Moting's miss yesterday?
No, like, I didn't.
Oh, my word. Have you seen it, Mort?
I don't know what
for
he was doing.
Who?
He plays for PSG now.
All right.
And
did he end up playing for PSG?
I don't know.
Well, that's another question. No, yeah, okay. Moved from Stoke
Fantastic
to PSG.
Fantastic agent. I want his agent.
All right.
He was too good for Stoke, though. But PSG, yeah, that is a strange
Stoke
move.
Stoke to PSG?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Big step.
I want his agent.
But anyway, he might be going back to Stoke, by the way, what he did yesterday.
Stoke could have him.
Basically, the ball was going out. I can't remember who chipped it. Chipped the keeper. Choupo-Moting was following in. The ball was going in. Now, we often see strikers, when the ball's going in, just finish it off themselves because they want the goal.
Yeah.
I think he's caught in two minds, thought, should I do that? And then decided against it. Ended up stopping the ball on the goal line, which was already going
in. It hit the post, didn't it? It just...
Literally stopped the ball. So then the defenders who are running back managed to get back and clear the ball. So he basically...
Saved the goal.
They're calling it the miss of the century.
Well, they'd have won the title. They'd have won the title if he'd scored.
Well, they're going to win the title anyway.
Yeah, they are, but...
To be fair.
Yeah. But they could have done it on that day. And then Strasbourg went 2-1 up. That was at 1-1. Strasbourg went 2-1 up and PSG did equalise. So it finished 2-2. So they didn't win the title yesterday, but it was an unbelievable...
I'll have a look.
You have to watch it. Watch it on Twitter. I suggest to everyone, have a look. Type in Choupo-Moting.
It's a weird one. It really is. It's almost like you think, well, hold on. Is he on some sort of bet?
Yeah.
Has he got money on it being 1-1?
Oh, it's just, a bit one of those.
Honestly,
ones.
It was really strange.
I'll have a look. Like I say, I still can't get my head around the fact that somebody moves from Stoke to PSG.
You gotta let
aside from the environment of leaving Stoke and suddenly living in Paris. That's quite nice as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, what else you got?
Well, not at the moment, probably.
Not at the moment, no.
Stoke. Staying indoors, mate.
There are less street protests in Stoke right now. Yeah.
Theresa May addressed the nation yesterday, didn't she?
She did, looking quite relaxed. Was it at Chequers? Is it in the drawing room at Chequers?
Yeah, I think it was.
I'd love a drawing room, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but anyway, she was at Chequers. I think she was at Chequers.
Yeah, it was at Chequers. Yeah. She did seem quite relaxed. She was smiling. But she basically ruled out a no-deal Brexit, which I think has got some MPs hot under the collar. Because she said, now we've got two options. We'll either leave with a deal.
Or we won't leave.
Yeah, or we'll be staying in the EU. Yeah. And, I mean, I think now if we were to stay in the EU, there'd be uproar, wouldn't there? So I think basically we're going to have a soft Brexit.
There would be uproar, but there'd also be a certain amount. No, well, me neither, by the way. But there'd be
uproar from you.
No, actually, there wouldn't be massive uproar, no, because if it's either that or a soft rubbish Brexit anyway, there's no point.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying, that all the deals that are on offer are actually worse than just staying in. No, it hasn't been great. Jeremy Hardy, God bless him, who died recently, a friend of mine, great comic, said in 2016, there are only two options in this referendum, Remain or chaos, right, is what he said in 2016. And he couldn't have been more right. In the end, none of it's been handled very well. Theresa May, though, do you know what she looked like? You know when teams get relegated and they suddenly start playing quite relaxed football?
Yeah.
You got that feeling from Theresa May yesterday. It's been so bad that she doesn't care. Because what they missed out is the moment just after the broadcast when she reached forward and grabbed the biggest glass of gin you've ever seen and just knocked it back, right? Because in the end, what's she got to lose at this point? She knows she's gone. Have you seen the memes, by the way? There are various memes going around. One with while she's talking and the room is on fire. That's quite funny. And the other one is Jeremy Corbyn sitting next to her on the sofa with his arm around her. That's pretty funny as well. She did look like a normal person, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah. She looked like a person just talking to us. And I thought, and I watched it, and I thought, yeah, I think you've got a fair point. But she's handled it so badly.
She has.
I saw Rhys Mogg on the telly yesterday morning. And he was sweating a little bit. I mean, it's sort of holding it together, but not quite. I think he's starting to think, maybe I played this wrong. That certainty is just not quite as certain as it was.
In terms of our negotiating position, surely this undermines it even further, because there's always been talk, you've got to pretend to the EU that we'd be happy to leave without a deal. No. And now she's really gone for it and said, well, that's not happening.
We should have, listen, two and a half years ago, no deal should have been the default position. And the moment we signed Article 50, we should have been planning for a no deal, because at least then we'd have been ready. But if you have no out, basically there's no way out, if you're basically, they know that you don't want to leave with no deal, then that does weaken your position. But hey,
it should be default, and then you want a deal, do you? All right, maybe. And then you're going, all right, you can have all this.
Yeah, well,
they'd have thrown money at us.
But possibly. But as it turns out, here we are in 2019 in a bit of a mess.
Oh, well, we'll have to see what happens with
that.
We will have
to see what happens.
Jay. Your lot, mate. All I'm saying. Your lot.
I'm not even going to go into it.
That's all I can say.
It is interesting, though. In the year that we've been sat here, it's less combative. It's more resignation.
Yeah, it is. He used to fight, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's gone.
Proper Brexit. We want a proper... We don't need them. We're okay on our own. Because the new passports have come out now without Europe on it. It's just Great Britain on it. For the 29th of March, they were ready, weren't they?
That's all I ever wanted.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
What colour are they?
They're the same colour. Still EU colour.
Oh, you're going to have to pop to Poundland and get a blue cover because you can get them now. Flying off the shelves. There is a story about a bin man. They've been forced to apologise to Tony Topper.
Tony Topper.
Yes.
That is a great name.
It's a stage name.
Anthony Topper. It's Anthony. It's nice. Tony Topper. What is...
69-year-old Tony Topper, who has a wheelchair, and basically these bin men were caught using his wheelchair. He left it outside his house and they were caught doing wheelies in it and just having a spinning round and round doing donuts in it.
Could have damaged the wheelchair.
Could have done, Tony Topper caught him on CCTV and they've had to pop round with some chocolates to him to apologise. So that's that.
Were they drunk?
Draw a line under that.
Bin men? Why were they doing
they
that?
Were bored,
or
Les,
it's a wheelchair. Come and have a bit of fun. Who would do that? I mean, really? Would you, if you saw a wheelchair and there was no one in it,
Do you know what? I have done that actually. Because there's some in a village hall where I used to like doing helping out at a kids camp, and there's some wheelchairs, so we did a bit of racing. They didn't belong to anyone; they were just for anyone.
Didn't belong to anyone.
They belonged to the village hall, so whenever anyone used the village hall, they could use them. So it's not like I took someone's wheelchair.
No wonder while you were reading this, there was a lot of glistening in your eye. It was taking you back to childhood,
I mean,
wasn't it?
You didn't tip a person out of the wheelchair. Oh, just lie there for a bit. We're just gonna have a bit of fun. Don't go anywhere. Oh, you can't, can you? You can't do that, right? No, you didn't do that.
No, that didn't happen. No, I'll just
push you over here into the corner. You just stay there. You didn't do that. No, okay. Yeah, anyway,
right,
these bin men, I mean, really,
yeah,
they are ridiculous.
Well, Tony Top has got his chocolates and they've apologised, so we can draw a line under the whole thing.
Well, I guess we can. They're not going to get a Christmas box this year, are they? Little Christmas tip. They're going to be leaving rubbish all over the path.
Probably. There's a story also about David Williams and Matt Lucas, Little Britain creators. I didn't realise they'd fallen out. They haven't worked
with
each other.
They don't like each other, did they? Yeah.
Well, actually, they've been pictured.
No,
That's what I'd read.
That's not actually true. That's what I'd read. Okay. I know Matt, right? And they didn't work together all the time, but it's not they disliked each other. But they are now getting together again.
What was it then?
They wanted to do other things. So David went off and did Britain's Got Talent. Matt went off to America and has done his bits and pieces over there and been in movies.
So they didn't dislike each other. It was just a part of a natural, organic part of the
way. You know what? When you're in these double acts, I've never been in a double act, but when you work intensely with someone for a number of years, you maybe need a break after a while.
Well, Matt Lucas, in his book, Little Me, he said that they riled and they were suddenly hurling obscenities at each other.
Well, do you know what? I mean, that happens.
See, that's where I got it from, because I read a bit of that, that they didn't like each other.
It wasn't a massive falling out, but they haven't worked together since Come Fly With Me 2009. I was going to say, I remember it wasn't German.
Okay.
But now they've been pictured together on Instagram. They're at someone's birthday bash.
Great.
So it looks like they're getting on all right again.
Well, that's very nice. I'm pleased with
that. I hope they work together again. They're funny. I liked them.
It's interesting. The sort of stuff they did back then, I'm not sure they get away with it now.
No chance. No. I was watching Little Britain the other day. I thought it was so funny. You could not get away with that these days.
Quiet. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. They like dressing up, though, don't they?
Yeah, they
and the like nation them. Likes watching them getting dressed up as well. So that's nice.
This is Love Sport.
Now, the Everton boss Marco Silva feels they should have beaten Arsenal by a greater margin. They were 1-0 winners in the Premier League yesterday. Silva feels it doesn't really reflect their superiority. Joining us is the former Everton and Chelsea midfielder, Graham Stewart. Good morning, Graham.
Morning, Ian. How are you?
You know what? We're fine. We're doing fine. I mean, obviously, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I didn't particularly enjoy watching yesterday. But do you think, I mean, before we talk about Arsenal, Everton should get plenty of credit for that performance?
Yeah, I think so. I think Marco Silva summed it up very well. We were the better team on the day. I think from 1 to 11, as it were, we were outstanding. I think the back four were rock solid, limited Arsenal to very, very few chances, and you know, creativity in the final third was very, very good. The only criticism we can have is that we should have scored more goals.
Yeah.
Hey, Graham. I hope you're well, my friend.
Hi, Paul. I'm good, thanks, mate.
Nice one. So, you're going into the game. Let's say you're an Everton player, Everton manager. How do you approach Arsenal, knowing that they're terrible away from home, knowing that Mesut Ozil's playing, for example? How would Everton have approached playing Arsenal?
Well, I think the important thing for us is we came into it with some confidence because we'd had a good second half against Chelsea. We'd had a terrific performance and result down at West Ham as well. So coming into the game, we were full of confidence. I still think Arsenal have got a bit of a soft underbelly. So I think the manager would have been insane to the players. Look, you know, let's get amongst them. Goodison Park loves a scrap every so often, if you like, just to get the crowd going and put a few tackles in, but in the correct manner. And we did that. We won battles. We won, you know, the midfield battle was certainly won by ourselves. And when you do that against Arsenal, when you can control the game like we did, you know, as I say, the only downside for us was that we should have been out of sight a lot earlier in the game.
Yeah, I think even most Arsenal fans who are not wearing the red goggles would agree with you. And let's talk about the game at tonight. Chelsea play West Ham. I mean, you were talking about Everton there beating West Ham. West Ham were terrible. that day. I mean, they were. As Everton played, I haven't seen West Ham be that poor in a while. If they're like that again, they'll get stuffed by Chelsea tonight, won't they?
Well, they will, yeah. I mean, they're a funny side, West Ham. I mean, you catch them on a good day and they can be a really good side to watch and they can hurt you. You played them like last week. I mean, I'm not taking any credit away from our boys who performed superbly well on the day, but West Ham were dreadful. Yeah. But, you know, you look at the result yesterday, if Chelsea need a lift, that's the lift that they certainly need because, you know, they can't afford to be out of the top four, Chelsea. With the transfer embargo they've got, trying to keep hold of their best player in Hazard, they have to have Champions League football. So, you know, they've got a dangerous animal coming to them tonight, West Ham, and I would side with Chelsea winning the game.
Graham, where are Chelsea at the moment? I mean, they've had a lot of criticism. I mean, the Callum Hudson-Odoi thing has been, you know, lingering around forever. Sarri, not quite sure how to motivate the players. He's been up and down. He's been close to losing his job. Hazard, where are they at the moment? And what would be a good season for them?
It's a good question. It's a difficult question to answer because I'm really not quite sure where they are. I think, you know, the big danger for them is losing their best player, as I mentioned, Hazard. And a good season for them is to finish in the top four. That's all that they can do now. And I mean, obviously, the Europa League, there's every possibility that they could win the Europa League. But the most important thing for them is to finish in that top four, because without that, if they lose Hazard, they can't replace him because they've got the transfer embargo, and then you're into danger signs for them. But the plus side is they've got some fantastic young English talent. Hudson-Odoi is a wonderful player. I love Loftus-Cheek as well.
Yeah.
I think Ross Barkley now is showing signs that he's starting to understand the game an awful lot better and playing some really, really good football for Chelsea and for England, importantly. So they've got some good young players down there, but I'm not so sure the manager trusts them yet, and I don't understand that, because every time I see those three boys play, they're very, very good. And Chelsea fans love their young players. They love to see homegrown talent coming through. And I think the frustration with Chelsea fans is that he doesn't play them often enough.
Yeah, although that has been the case for quite a few years, though, hasn't it, with young talent. They've brought in established talent. And also, by the way, I would say, as far as Ross Barkley is concerned, he speaks quite highly of Maurizio Sarri, doesn't he, in terms of his coaching. Do you think Chelsea will make the top four this year? Do you think Arsenal will?
If you ask me right now, sat here, I'd side with Chelsea. I just think Chelsea have just got that extra bit of quality when required. And if their attitude's right and, you know, they're at their game, I think Chelsea is still a little bit of a better side than Arsenal. I think they've got a bit more steel to them.
Yeah, I think, sadly, I think you could be right.
You've silenced him here, Graham.
I'm trying to upset you this morning. Honestly,
no, you've just silenced him, mate. Right. He's agreeing with you.
It's all right. It's Arsenal way, you know. We've seen it a million times. Graham, nice to speak to you.
Absolute pleasure, lads.
It's Graham Stewart there, the former Everton and Chelsea midfielder.
You should have seen your face then.
Well, I mean, what can I say?
Resignation.
You know? Now, you know what? You never know with Arsenal. They could go on a run now as well, because you know what? Up to yesterday, they'd won 5 out of 6. Mm. But that away form is terrible. And I think, and it bears repeating, and I said it earlier, they've had 12 away games and they've won 2 of them. Yes. And that is against Blackpool in the FA Cup and Huddersfield, a rock bottom Huddersfield. Mm. And that is it. This is games in Europe. This is games in the league, in the cup. It ain't good enough. And there's something weird going on. And I want to talk to you more about it. I don't understand. I mean, it's not like the Emirates is a fortress. It is in terms of the way they play. But it's not like it's a cauldron. And it's not like teams come to the Emirates and think, oh, the noise. We can't handle the noise. No one ever says that.
Players have to take responsibility as well for this.
Well, it's not just as well. It is down to them.
It's down to the players. I mean, how the manager sets them out is also important. You know, the mentality. But the players themselves have to take responsibility. They go onto the pitch.
There wasn't enough fight there yesterday.
That's
the problem. It felt like, to me, it's not... I mean, this season, Arsenal have definitely shown a bit more fight. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Socrates is definitely, you know, much more up for the fight. Although, by the way, he got booked yesterday. He's going to miss 2 games.
Yeah.
So it's Mustafi and one.
Oh,
and there's a bit of a worry there for Arsenal.
Well, at least there's a guarantee of goals. May not be, you know, you don't know which way they're going to go.
Entertainment is coming your way. If you want to watch Arsenal, there'll be goals.
This is Love Sport.
Jamie has come in. He's got some stories He's looking through the newspapers. He's basically just coming to read the paper, as far as I can tell. Jamie, what have you got for us?
There's a panther on the loose in Cornwall.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're safe here. But if you're listening in Cornwall, not sure how many listeners we have in Cornwall, but
eight.
Watch out. Is it
eight? I've spoken to them.
Four, seven. One's been eaten.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we laugh, but actually, this could be a serious issue because basically they've looked at the paw print. You know, the 5-inch paw print on the floor.
That's a big one, is it?
Oh yeah, that
big panther.
That's a big panther.
Right.
And some chap.
A small panther is okay, but a big panther, that's a worry.
Yeah, what this panther is, attacked a Labrador and then ran towards a chap, and he had to run back into his house, he said. And you've had five cats and some deer missing from Harrow Barrow, which is the name of the village.
Harrow Barrow.
Harrow Barrow. Yeah.
Everything's funny about Cornwall, isn't it? Everything.
And fearless, the beast. That's what these are. Unusually fearless, sorry. So normally panthers, big cats, might be a little bit scared of humans. But the fact that this witness has said, no, he was running towards me and he attacked my dog, means that panther experts are going, oh dear, this cat seems like it's up for it.
Right, okay. So they're going to have to find it and sedate it in some way and put it back in whatever they... Where's it escaped from? A zoo or something?
Not sure. It's a big black panther. Now, I remember when I was younger, there was always talk of a big cat around Exmouth. Everyone's, oh yeah,
yes,
a big
that.
Cat
on the moor.
Yeah, on the moors, yeah. And yeah, now apparently there is, and whether it's the same one who's just gone a bit further south into Cornwall, I don't know.
No, I don't know either. You're looking at me like I should know.
You haven't been tracking
this
panther,
this panther over the years.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in the meantime, through my comedy career and various broadcasting. I know I've got writing to do, but what's happening with the panther today?
Comedian come panther tracker.
Pete the panther. I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out. I guess then we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on it. Anyway.
If you are in Harrow Barrow, just, I guess, stay indoors.
Yeah, but what if you've got to go to work or something? I can't come in. There's a panther outside. Are people going to believe that?
Run to your car.
It's a bit dangerous, isn't it? You take the kids to school and one of them might get eaten by a panther. How was the kids today? Well, one of them's not coming back. He's been eaten by a panther. Do you hear about that poacher, by the way, who got... he was a rhino poacher and he got attacked by the rhino and then killed, eaten by lions.
Unlucky, wasn't he?
Fabulous.
You normally get one of them, but...
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I know it's terrible, but there you go.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's always the thing with that. Do you feel bad saying that? Not at all.
Not in any way. This person was doing harm to these beautiful wild animals.
I agree.
And deserves everything they get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I just hope that they tortured him and played with him.
Yeah, before, for a little bit.
For a little bit.
Painful. That's what we'd like.
Just chewed one toe at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Japanese men are more likely to be virgins, 10 times more likely than Brits and Australians, because Japanese women are going for rich partners.
Right.
So... Yeah, quarter of Japanese. No, 10% of heterosexual men in Japan still virgins at 40.
40.
Wow. Yeah.
Because they got no dough.
And Japan. Yeah.
They got no money.
Got no dough.
A quarter aged 18 to 39 are virgins.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So there seems to be a lot of sex for Japanese men between the age of 39 and 40. 15% of them are suddenly finally getting some. As it turns out.
No, I suppose that's right, yeah.
No, it's not right. It's not. They did serve up to 39. But it doesn't mean that they're all 39-year-olds. Anyway, I imagine it's more gradual. When you get your 39th birthday. Right, ladies, I'm ready.
Yeah, but if a quarter aged 18 to 39 are virgins, and only 10% of above 40.
Yes, but what that probably means is it's 25% at 18, 24% at 19, and gradually through to 39, when maybe it's 11%, and then 10% at 40, is what it means.
Yeah,
not a sudden 39-year-olds are alluring to the opposite sex. Anyway,
I think it's a bit of a shame though that women are only going for richer men in Japan.
If I was a poorer Japanese man, I would feel that's a shame as well. Yeah. I would, you know.
The trend was reversed for low-income women who are more likely to be married housewives.
Right. Okay. I'm not sure what I think of that.
That's the state of Japanese sexual circumstances at the moment.
No, right, we like to keep you up to date with Japanese sexual circumstances here on the Comedy Breakfast on Love Sport Radio.
Yeah, yeah? I thought you might know. Remember
we're doing Panther Watch and Japan Virgin Watch.
Do you remember the
not that I'd want to watch. Anyway.
You won't be anything to watch.
No, nothing's happening.
Do you remember the greedy the greedy lizard the other day who was eating the eggs?
Lizard.
What was the story?
It was a dog, wasn't it? No, a greedy lizard that was eating eggs. Yeah, no, I don't remember that. But anyway.
Eating golf balls, which it thought were eggs, that they were left out for chickens. I remember that.
That
snake? That
was a lizard, I think, wasn't it? Okay. Anyway, there was something it was eating.
That was one of them.
But now something.
I've really lost track here. What's going on?
Golf balls are flavour of the month, basically, because there's a dog who's been eating them.
Ah, and that's what I saw this morning. It's beautiful little dog.
I know.
Really cute looking little dog looking up.
Beautiful, yeah, Springer Spaniel, Labrador Cross.
Yeah.
And he was put off his food and his owner didn't know why. And they took him to the vet and then, yeah, he had all these golf balls and she used to regularly take him across the golf course on walks. And sometimes he'd put them in his mouth and she'd say, drop. And he always dropped them.
And he'd swallow them.
And she didn't realise that he'd actually been swallowing them as well.
Right.
So, yeah, that was why he was being sick and not wanting his food.
Oh, dear. Mm. Oh, he was a bit under par, was he?
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Anyway, we'll move on from that, shall we?
Come on. Don't just throw this show together.
Oh, dear.
Cute wild animals are being... This is a bit of an animal theme.
There's
this
a lot
section.
Of animals in this section.
Well, this is a bit of a sad story. They keep being bought as pets, wild animals, to attract likes on social media posts. Charities aren't happy. Sugar glider possums.
Right. I don't know what they are. I'm not sure I'd recognise one, but okay. They are wild animals and people shouldn't buy them to keep as pets.
Yeah, fennec foxes from North Africa as well. Often bred in cruel conditions and you can sell them online for 150 quid and then you take a few pictures, put them on Instagram and get loads of likes. But actually, it's a bit cruel.
It's not a bit cruel. It's awful.
Very cruel and awful.
It's awful. There's no reason why people should do this except they're just fueling their ego somewhat. Yeah, well, that just depresses me, really. I don't quite know. Education, again, you know the stories we talk about, quite often it's about lack of education, right? Yeah. It seems to me, the racism story we're talking about.
Ignorance.
This one, you know, if my kids, look, Dad, I've got a sugar, whatever it is, it's not a flying possum. A sugar glider possum. So they do, they don't glide.
I don't think they do glide, no.
Okay, but anyway, sugar glider possums, and if they showed me a picture of that, look what I've got as a pet, I go, what are you doing? You know? Why are you thinking that is acceptable? But obviously, people aren't doing that.
People care more about Instagram, don't they, than the animals?
Yeah. Well, they should be banned from all social media forever if they do something like
quite
that.
Right.
Because nobody needs to hear from idiots like that.
No, you're right. This might cheer you up. Then a four-year-old girl has made £1 million a year.
Is it my four-year-old girl?
No.
No, then it doesn't cheer me up at all. Why? How is she making £1 million a year?
She's a star of Britain's most popular YouTube channel. Her and her brother play with toys. They've got 11 million subscribers.
They rate them, don't they?
Yeah.
They rate the toys. And I heard it's quite funny.
Their videos have amassed 3.6 billion views.
Wow.
More popular than CBeebies. It was set up 3 years ago by their mum. She runs it at their family home. So she's doing all right, isn't she? Her kid's making £1 million a year.
I mean, if there's any way to exploit your children, I'm up for it. But, you know. But, you know.
It seems like the kids are up for it. They just get to play with the toys.
They do get to play with the toys. I mean, you wonder whether they're forcing them. I want to go to bed. Play with a toy. Play with it. More playtime. Tell me what you think to this camera. Say it again, only with more feeling. I mean, one wonders what's going on.
Could be some of that going on. Actually, the most.
Say it again, but from the other angle.
Yeah, the most successful.
Let's go to bed, mummy. Can't go to bed.
Most successful toy reviewer from Texas. He makes £17 million last year.
Oh, my God.
Reviewing
ridiculous.
Toys.
Well,
ridiculous.
Listen, you know what? These videos are quite fun to watch.
Yeah, and they get loads of free stuff, don't they?
Well, I mean, it's purely about adverts, isn't it? I mean, if you get all these views, if people start watching, then YouTube will pay you money to advertise stuff on it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, you enjoy watching that, do you?
Well, I've never watched it personally, because I don't need to see reviews of toys. I'm not buying toys. My kids are 17 and 20. You know, maybe in a couple of years, God willing, if they give me grandchildren. Yeah. Grandparents, that'd be odd. What are you doing with these old people? I don't need to see that. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But I'm pleased with this four-year-old girl and her parents. How lovely.
Love sports.
Paul's saying here, Peruvian food. I'm saying pan pipes. Not keen on the pan pipes.
No pan pipes involved.
I don't. It's just such an annoying instrument. Every time we go to the Edinburgh Festival. You've been to the Edinburgh Festival?
No, I'd love
Jamie's
to go.
Jamie's coming as well. Yeah, it's great, but you can't avoid pan pipers. There's always a group of pan pipers.
I'm not really sure what that is.
Pan pipe. You know the god, the goat god, Pan. Yeah, no? Okay. All right, fair enough.
I hate
well,
pan
anyway,
pipes.
Anyway.
Pan pipes.
He plays pan pipes. It's like little pipes. Yeah, imagine a recorder.
Oh, I know them.
Eight recorders all stuck together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know how annoying the recorder is?
Yeah.
This is eight times as annoying. It's eight recorders stuck together is what it is.
Yeah, and right? I've heard that. I didn't know they were pan pipes.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
So they do a sort of Peruvian version of London's burning. Lima's burning, I suppose it would be. Anyway, that's all I know about Peru. So
you're talking about the Grand National there. Well, Michael O'Leary, who is the Ryanair boss, who owns Tiger Roll, it was good news if you were on the flight from Liverpool to Dublin over the weekend.
Was it good news?
You got not one free drink, but two free drinks from Michael O'Leary.
He went
on the intercom, and after Tiger Roll won last year, he gave everyone one free drink.
That's two.
And then he was accused of being a bit tight, so he said, right. Well, he said, all right, so it's going to be a free bar, and then he said, you're allowed two free drinks each. And he said,
amazing. Imagine.
Anyone who orders a ham and cheese panini or sandwich, I'm offloading you personally. You can buy your food in Dublin. On board this flight, we're drinking. So there you go.
Right. Sounds like an order.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it would have been good travelling with you, Mills, because I could have had your drinks as well.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah.
You could have four.
Four free drinks.
And with the altitude, that would have done you nicely, wouldn't it?
I would have done. Imagine. I wish I'd been on that flight. I mean, I wasn't even going to Dublin. It would have been worth it for the four free drinks I could have got if I was travelling with the teetotaler.
Oh, God.
I could travel with my whole family. The children count as well. Oh, yeah. Two of the drinks are for the four-year-old. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that. But to be fair, it's quite rare that you come out of a Ryanair flight thinking you've got something for cheap or
definitely.
For free, isn't
when you
it?
Say normally, quite rare, you're paying. It never happens.
Normally, you're paying for any additional.
I'm telling you, what they'll have done is they'd have raised the prices before that flight, mate, just to make their money back. I'm telling you,
he knew just on the off chance he'd have won the Grand National.
Yeah.
Give him two free drinks. They'll think I'm really good like that. Yeah. Okay.
There is another story in the paper, a British woman who's facing jail in Dubai potentially for 2 years.
I heard this.
And a £50,000 fine.
Yeah.
Dubai's laws on cybercrime are very strong. What she did...
Dubai's laws on everything are very strong.
Well, yeah. Well, so her and her husband got divorced. She moved back to Britain. He was going to go with her. In the end, he filed for divorce, got remarried. She posted on Facebook calling his new wife a horse. Says, I can't believe
a horse.
I can't believe you're marrying this horse. She said it in Farsi. She's a language. She's British Iranian. Mm. Said it in Farsi. It got translated in Dubai. There's a group called Detained in Dubai who help people who are in this sort of situation that she's in, potentially going to be imprisoned in Dubai, and they say that the translation got it wrong and basically translated it as whore instead of horse. So when she came to...
So it's okay to call someone a horse, but it's not okay to call someone a whore.
Well, it's not as bad as calling someone a whore. Anyway, so her former husband died.
Yeah.
She went... travelled to Dubai to attend the funeral
and got arrested.
And that's when she was arrested at the airport for these posts that she made in 2016 calling the new wife a horse.
And what did the horse do? No, I'm just asking. Wait, is there a horse? There isn't a horse. No, there's no horse involved.
There's no horse involved. There's a woman who's been described as a horse.
As a horse. And how did she... She didn't take it well.
How she reacted.
How many years should she have in jail?
You better not go to Dubai now.
I won't.
No, you said that.
I didn't call her a horse.
You said, what did the horse do?
That's true, I did. I thought it was an actual horse. Right.
But yeah, so now she's been detained. She's not in prison.
Why would you marry a horse? This is a ridiculous story. I mean, it is unfortunate that people do get locked up in countries in the Middle East for terrible... I mean, that poor woman in Iran who's still in jail, Nazanin, who's been in jail and her kid... she's been in jail for quite a few years now. They said she was a spy. I mean, it's grim.
Well, this woman's had her passport taken away from her. She's not staying in she's not being kept in prison. She's in a cheap hotel, apparently, and she's not allowed to leave the country.
It's terrible.
Well, she can't leave the country if she's had her passport taken away.
Yeah. So, she's British Iranian, and UAE and Iran haven't been getting on very well recently.
Is that right?
Because the UAE have sided with Saudi Arabia.
Oh, this is all. Yeah, this is still going on. The blockade, is that still going on?
Is it's to do with the Yeah, proxy war with Iran and Yemen.
Okay.
I don't really know about all that sort of stuff.
Do you know
but
what?
There are politics behind the scenes which suggest that perhaps she's being treated a bit differently because she's British Iranian. But anyway, it's a terrible situation to be in. So
it is. Don't go on social media and call someone a horse or a whore.
No. If ever there was a moral in this story,
don't
it's probably
do that.
That. Yeah.
Don't do that. She was just being rude about her ex-husband's future partner, who, by the way, is a widow now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's nobody comes out of this very well.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But on Brighton news. On a more positive note, butterflies are coming back. More than two-thirds...
Coming back?
They never really left, but the numbers were declining and now they're on the up again. More than two-thirds of butterfly species were seen in higher numbers last year, and that is because of the heat wave. Two of the rarest butterflies, the large blue and the black hair streak, recorded their best year since records began in 1976.
Global warming has been good for butterflies, if nothing else. People are drowning in coastal areas, but global warming has helped the butterflies.
This was supposed to be a positive story.
Sorry. You're right. Hooray. They're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're lovely. Nobody can get upset at a butterfly for any reason at all.
No. Moths, on the other hand.
Moths. It should be all dead.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.